Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress, the people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, design and the future of theming in WordPress. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Tammy Lister. Tammy is a product creator focusing on WordPress. She has a hybrid background across product, design, psychology, and development. She contributes to WordPress and is passionate about open source and the community. If you've been in the WordPress space for a while, Tammy's name is likely a familiar one. She's an 18-year veteran of the project, a talented designer, developer, and a key contributor to the project. Her journey has made her wear a variety of hats in both agency life and product development. Today, Tammy shares insights that span from the practical to the philosophical within the open source landscape. We get to hear Tammy's perspective on this crucial experimentation phase in WordPress theme development, the balance she seeks between minimalist design and functional complexity, and her active roles, including the default theme task force. Our discussion takes us into the evolving WordPress editor experience, user roles, and interface design. We discuss the future of WordPress UI and UX, touching on visual configurations and how the Gutenberg site editor continues to shape our digital toolkit. For those inspired by themes, Tammy reveals her passion for them, from preserving the essence of classic themes to ways that the project might break new ground. She also introduces us to some of her own projects, such as composition themes, and discusses her classic to block themes project as well. Tammy shares some of the resources that she recommends for both beginners and seasoned developers alike, bringing to light the many pathways that you can now choose to learn about WordPress. Looking over the horizon of collaborative editing and design systems, Tammy's excitement for what's next is palpable. So whether you're a developer, a designer, or a WordPress aficionado, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. A quick note before we begin, this episode was recorded live at WordCamp Asia. There was quite a lot of background noise to contend with, and I've done my best to make the audio as easy to listen to as possible. And so, without further delay, I bring you Tammy Lister. I am joined on the podcast by Tammy Lister. Hello, Tammy.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you for joining me today. We are at WordCamp Asia. I actually don't know the name of the venue, but we are at WordCamp Asia. And Tammy's giving us a presentation during the event. But before she tells us about that, just give us a little bit of a background. Give us your potted biography. Tell us who you are, where you've been, whatever you like.
So my name's Tammy Lister. I have been involved in a project, I think 18 years or so now. Did a while. I have been pretty much designer, developer, worn most hats around the project. I've been a full-time contributor. I've worked on phase one of Gutenberg, and I've also worked in agencies. And currently, I am working a kind of hybrid function, working with products and also doing some sponsored contribution.
You've been around the houses, haven't you, basically? You've been there, done that. What's your talk about? It's called The Elements of WordPress, but I've got it written down in front of me, so I know what it's about. But do you want to, just for the sake of the audience, maybe somebody listening to this will be able to watch it on WordPress TV. Tell us what you're intending to say.
Yeah, so my talk is specifically looking at the elements of WordPress going up from blocks to patterns to template parts to templates and then styling and looking at how they all come together. So everything on the front end of the site, but also the hidden design system as well.
So that's the talk. You haven't done it yet,
yes.
Have you? You have?
Yeah.
And how did it go?
It went really well. I was really pleased to be able to deliver it. And as of all these talks, I think it's a good idea to kind of deliver it. I always like writing blog posts, so I'm hoping to write a blog post about it. and then iterate on it. And some of the conversations are really interesting afterwards as well.
Yeah, a little bit off piece, but how do you manage the nerves for things like that?
I am atrocious with nerves. Oh. I am not one of those people that ever doesn't have nerves. I would probably worry if I didn't have nerves.
Well, it's something that I couldn't do, so bravo. Thank you for doing that. So I've got a list of questions here and I'll go through them and we'll tackle them one at a time. So my first question to you, and because I know of the history that you've had, this question seems like on message, but we'll see. I've written down over the last 10 years, let's say, WordPress. Well, let's maybe go for 5 years. WordPress has changed a lot. Tell us what you make of everything that's happened since your involvement, you know, phase one and all of that. What sticks out as the most important moments?
The word at the moment that I'm focusing on is patterns. I love patterns because they, and I kind of said this in my talk, because when people think of a site, they don't think of blocks. They think of patterns. If you shut your eyes and you think of a site. So that to me is really significant because it's starting to deal with the sites and deal with the interface as people see it. A lot of the work that we've done is dealing with it as people see it because a lot of phase one and a lot of all that work was foundational. I kind of use the term iceberg. It was all that kind of groundwork, all that big foundational pieces. And you don't see that and you don't recognize that. The work now is refinements on top of that. And it can seem bigger, but it's making all of that hidden work visible. So I really like that. I like it when something that I made is changed. I get great delight in that. I like it when the language is firmed, both visually and also that we start having solid names for things and the names stick.
Yeah.
Of the names changing.
We've had a lot of changing of names, haven't we?
Yeah. I really like that we're using proper things. So a good example is reusable blocks and then patterns and syncing and all those kind of things. That we're also making things in response to how they're being used is really important as well. Initially, you're going to make the best bet that you can be. So phase one was very much a, well, we know we need the editor. We know we need this. The block kind of needs it. This is how an editor kind of should work. Rough bet, you know, throw something. But then you only know when people are using it, how to refine it. And then even more so when site editor and block editor are very different. So all of that kind of information refines and changes it as well.
You mentioned an iceberg, and whilst I don't want to sort of open up Pandora's box a little bit, how well do you feel the whole of the Gutenberg project from phase one was communicated? Because it feels right now, 2024, it feels like a lot of things are beginning to land and are beginning to be understood. I've got the intuition that for the last 5 years or so, there was just maybe the communication wasn't what it could have been or something like that. So it was difficult for people to understand. And that leads to all sorts of interesting conversations.
I think communication is a conversation and conversations need to happen between two, both ways. That's where I come back to. I think everyone has learned in this, you know, we didn't even really have a concept of developer relations. You know, we were asking the people who were building it to do developer relations, who weren't doing developer relations or didn't know how to do developer relations, right? Or we were asking people to build it whilst also advocating for it. You know, all these kind of different things. And we've learned over time and how to do an awful lot in this project. And we've had to learn a lot of, we have things like hallway hangouts now. And we have all these amazing, like the developer blog. And we have all these amazing resources that we didn't have in phase one. We had just had some like user feedback sessions and we didn't have the SSC program, the outreach. That kind of didn't happen. That started happening later. We didn't have specific people who were specifically focused on things. That was the people who were building it as well. So I think we've learned from having those conversations and refining it. But also, it's really hard to communicate what you don't know yet whilst you're learning how to do it. So if you're like, I need to experiment and I need to explore this thing, but you need to give me time to experiment and explore this thing, that's a completely different conversation.
Yeah, I was having a chat with somebody yesterday and sort of explaining that if WordPress was a, I don't know, a blue chip company and it was a for-profit entity and you had a hierarchy with the CEO at the top, you could communicate everything down with just a memo. But the nature of the WordPress project, given that there's loads of volunteer hours and contributor hours and people are in different time zones, I think that's a really difficult thing to
manage.
Well, you
can say like, hey, can everyone just go into experimentation mode for like 4 years and just everyone not judge anything that's going to be produced? That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
And then who's going to get the memo that we're actually all in experimentation? And then if Bob in the corner and the Mary in the other corner doesn't get that memo, they're going to be judging something. Bob and Mary are super awesome people, but they're not going to have that knowledge to make those judgments on different things.
Yeah, I have no intuition as to whether anything's changed in the background, but it sounds from everything that you've said and the messaging that I'm receiving, that that message has been understood in the places where it needs to be understood, that getting the message out, getting buy-in from people who are using it, communicating it, setting up things like the FSE program, as you mentioned, and the Learn WordPress and the mentor sponsorship.
It's maturing of the project as well, and maturing of concepts and learning. Like, we all learn. I think that's one of the things in the open source projects. You learn by doing, and it's as safe a place as you can have as any to learn from, and as gentle a place. But we all need to be very gentle with allowing that learning and just give that consideration of, we're all learning together, we're all reflecting on what we do. That ability to experiment, if we can kind of replicate that and keep that, I think that's going to serve us well in the future as well.
I haven't been in the WordPress ecosystem since day one, probably more like 12 years or something like that. So long enough to know a bit, but not long enough to know everything. Yeah. But it does feel like when phase one began, that was probably the moment where WordPress changed beyond all recognition in a way that it had never done before. So there maybe was no need to communicate on such a deep level.
I think there's always been pivotal changes. They've just sometimes not, if it's not impacting your area, impacted so many areas. I think if it impacts your area, it may have impacted a smaller area. So it would have felt huge in that smaller area to that group of people.
Right.
Because it impacted so many people. It's the editor, right? The editor is where you go to write things. You want to impact a big area of WordPress, impact the editor. It's pretty much impacting the heart, right? In a beautiful way. It really is important to think about, there's been, you know, from plugins to themes to different things, there's been so many areas that have had pivotal changes from day one that I'm sure different people would have this on this day and this time. This was this change that shook me, right? And I can think of many little kerfuffles that kind of people would have felt, or little blips that people have felt. But we kind of have learned along the way to have those and learn from those. And each one you learn from, and each one as a community. I think one of the big things to do is think, okay, how do we then progress? How do we then take those learnings? How do we then get better? And I do think we have some strong learnings from this project.
Yeah. I also feel the footprint is important, because back 12 years ago, let's just use that number. I don't know what the percentage was, but it wasn't 43, that this number, this percentage of the internet is being used. So obviously the
footprint, the
impact
and
is...
the businesses that are established on it, and the livelihoods and the families and the people that depend on it, you know, and the children and the partners, and there's passion and there's the depth and the roots and the people that have been on it for decades or whatever. That leads a lot of change, you know, trying to change things when someone has been very used to something for 15 whatever years is quite a change.
How confusing do you think the editing experience is at the moment? So I'm in WordPress all the time. I have this subset of things that I need to achieve. And so for me to do that is really straightforward, because I've spent the time to understand the things that I need to do. But if it was somebody brand new coming to WordPress, what's your intuition about how finished it is as an editing experience? Do you think we've got a way to go? Are you happy? Of anybody that I've met, you've probably put as much thought into this as anybody. And so I'm just curious what you think.
So I don't think it's baked yet, seeing it as a cake, because I think it's getting there. One of the things with core is it's always going to be the middle ground. And I think we often forget that when we're looking at the interface or we're looking at the product, that it's the middle that it's going for. And I would always encourage people to think about how, yes, you can use it out of the box, you can use the middle, but maybe what do you want to turn on or off? There are options that you can turn, settings as well. I would like to have more configuration to be able to be done so that you can have less or more, depending on that. One of the big things from an agency perspective is more control from user locking and user roles and user capacities. I'm also probably a big critic as well. I think those people that have been involved in the project are probably way more critical than those who are outside. I always find that interesting. Like, you're always going to be more critical of the things that you've ever touched than anyone else is going to be critical. If you know how the cake's made, you're going to be more critical about the cake. I think for me, I have a personal taste and then I have a work taste, and so I can kind of share both of those. My personal taste is super minimal. So I would actually like to see how less distilled can it be. But I also know for most jobs to be done, that's also not going to be the case at all. So I don't want to see that to be the default of the interface. What I maybe want from a design perspective is absolutely not what should be the default case. And that is always the challenge as a creator of interfaces. But I would definitely like to see different types. I would like to see more visual configuration of that. And I would like to see the ability to just be able to change the experience a lot more and style it.
Do you feel that the project is heading in the right direction with the UI, the UX that we've got at the moment, where patterns seem to be taking a bit more of a leading role? And also we've got FSE. I mean, goodness me, we could spend, honestly, we could do 2 hours on FSE. But is this the direction you want to see it going? Something like really visual way of just, okay, I want to put that little pattern in, that
row. So I love using the site editor's Dreamweaver.
Right.
And I go back, like, right. Super dates me. But is, right? Like, for me, that's how I make themes now. I love Figma, but Figma I really use. I don't know if you know the concept of style tiles, which is basically just like you pick your colors, you pick your fonts, and then you should make like a little tile, basically. It's kind of what I do. And then I put that into a theme JSON, and then I load it up using Create Block Theme, the plugin. I always get those words muddled around. And then I go straight into the editor, and then I start mixing stuff around, and I make my patterns, and then I do export. So I'm basically using it like Dreamweaver.
Right.
That's what I'm doing, because I find it incredibly effective. I strongly recommend people do that, because you're then in it. And would you release it like that? No, probably not, because then you don't get translatable, all of those things. But I find it a really effective tool, and it's become not just a way to do it, it's a way to create. It's almost like a coding tool that way. Patterns being central, I think, is way more important. We do put too much emphasis on blocks, because patterns, to me, are way more important. One of the things I want with patterns is I want pattern variations. I really would love to see that. That's like,
just tell us more about that, because I think that could easily get missed.
Yeah, so as we have, you know, we have block styles or pattern styles, maybe we call it, being able to attach different styling to different patterns that you can change. I don't know how that happens, but I think that that would be really nice to be able to switch that in the interface somehow. No idea how that happens. The other thing I would love is easier sharing styling. In fact, I've had a couple of conversations at this WordCamp of people just being like, I just want to port. People are going back to CSN Garden. It's a place in everyone's heart, right? And what if, bear with me, I've had more than one person say this to me in the past couple of days. What if you could go on the site and you could grab a load of code, and no matter what theme you had, you could put it in, and then your site would look like that.
Neat.
Yeah.
Really neat.
Like, that is kind of what we want. And if it's just styling, I mean, it's going to be more or less, right, because of the patterns and everything. But if you're grabbing that and getting the styles, that's kind of where we probably should be heading, I think, personally. Very opinions on my own. But for me, that's true independence of styling, and that's what I really want, because I love ephemeral styling, that creative freedom. I think it opens up not just to developers, it allows front-end developers to really polish their fine art. They can boost their skills, they can do even more CSS on top of it if they want to, and they can do even more amazing animation. It opens all these things up to more designers to be able to do it without having to know to code. So at both ends, more capable as well. So it doesn't limit anyone.
Some of the steps that you mentioned, I don't exactly know the level of every listener to this podcast, but some of them will be very technical and would have understood everything that you said.
Yeah,
but then you may have said something like theme JSON, and then some people are glazing over and thinking, what's your intuition as to where being able to create themes and patterns, what level of expertise would you ideally like to see that? Would it be ideal to allow anybody?
I would literally love you to be, you know, the pattern directory or the Museum of Block Art. Yep. We can just go pattern directory. I would love a style directory where you could literally go and grab a style, grab it, and then you can put it.
So no knowledge required. You just need to be able to just go through the directory, copy and paste.
I love that. WordPress Zen Garden.
Yeah, Zen Garden takes me right back.
WordPress Zen Garden. Yeah. How amazing would that be, right?
But I guess even that step for some people, I know it seems almost ridiculous on a WordPress podcast to say even that step might be a bit.
But
of
if
a
you
leap.
Had it in the interface?
In the interface. Okay, so it's not like a separate Zen Garden site.
The pattern directory is in the
interface.
That's right. Yeah. So if you had the style interface in there somehow and you could browse it and you could be like, I want a whatever. I have this rather peculiar analogy I'm going to share for theming, which is at the moment, theming should be super easy to change. But at the moment, changing a theme is like removing your head rather than changing your clothes. Changing your jumper should be easy, right? And it should just be super simple to change styling. And themes are great and amazing, but they're a package. That's what they are. And we need to just go back to having that beautiful freedom. And then we can have these creative freedoms. Themes to me are, we talk about design. Design and art are very, very different, but art is where meets WordPress in theming to me. And art is part of my background. And there is potential for us to have some beautiful art in themes again if we just have that freedom and we stop themes having to have all this weight in them as well and be tied down.
I get the feeling that an ideal place for you to land with this would be that most people can do most of what they need to do when they want to style their own website, but there's always still going to be an area for a professional.
If you think of it like fashion, is a good example.
Right,
so
right.
You can go and have custom fashion. You can go and have high-end haute couture. You can always go and have custom tailoring. You can go and have all of that. Or you can go to the high street and go and get something off the rack. And I think that's a really good model for us to kind
that
of think
of it as well.
That is the analogy.
Nobody's used that on me before.
Yeah.
That actually sums it up perfectly. That's nice.
And that isn't belittling anything. That's totally fine, you know. And that still allows us to have theme shops, fashion shops, right? That still allows us to have very functional, you know, we have very functional clothing. We have functional themes as well. And I think it's really important to think about the site works. The site has to do something. Some fashion is very frivolous. Some themes are going to be incredibly frivolous as well. And I actually adore frivolous themes. I don't think we have enough of them. But some are going to have to just be functional and jobs to be done as well, because absolutely. And some are going to be frameworks and some are going to be whatevers, you know. But it's having those options. You know, you're looking at high street, you have the options to be able to wear different clothing as well.
Yeah.
And some people are going to be super dependent on a brand and super passionate about only wearing that brand as well, you know, all those kind of things.
So you can peel back the curtain a little bit on this because of your experience inside the project trying to drive this change. How does it happen? Are there certain people that we should be, you know, if we're strongly into themes and we're opinionated about that and we want to make the change, where do we go? Do we start talking directly to people like you? Are there other people that we need to be banging on the door and saying, this is what we want?
So I'm not a full-time contributor.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just like anybody else in that sense. I mean, I have the knowledge. I've been in the project, but there's many people who've been in the project and have that knowledge. My biggest thing is use the things, start experimenting, start creating if you can. And I'm well aware, I'm suggesting that most people have a time machine to do that because you're trying to do your job as well as you're doing that. But if you can, and in your project, start using them. As you start using new things, you're going to find bugs because of the universe. And then you can start reporting those issues. And then you can start saying, these things need to change. When you're changing classic themes to block themes, that's one of the big things at the moment. So you can help with those things. And just find the area that you want to help with. Reporting one issue, which is a few minutes, is an incredibly big help. Having one conversation is incredibly help. Watching one hallway hangout, which is an hour, is a big help. Watching a video, going to a talk, but then scaling it up, going to a triage session. It's really finding where you are, experiment, have a pattern in the Museum of Block Art, have a pattern in the pattern directory. Find where you want to join in, but by using these things, you start to contribute is the biggest thing, because you start then knowing how they fit. To dive in straight away and say, these things should be this way without having used them in their current state, is a little bit, you might not be knowing how they are utilized. I would also always encourage people to search to see that something's not coming up. So if you're going to like log something as an issue, just have a little quick search and see whether it's coming up to be fixed before you log it in the GitHub repo. That's always a really good kind of tip as well. There's the channels in Slack, but Slack can also be quite a lot for a lot of people. So just using it and just figure out where your happy is, but just start experimenting and using is the biggest one.
Yeah, joining in. We could probably sum it up, couldn't we? That's nice. Where would you go? There was a nice little segue there, because you were talking about ways to learn and you mentioned a couple of things, but where do you find to be the best places to send somebody who's, well, let's just say a novice. Let's go with that. Where are the online resources, the places to hang out?
So there's a couple of different ones. We're very lucky we have a developer blog now, which is incredible good resources. All the hallway hangouts, amazing to watch back. Learn WordPress is also a really good resource. And between all of those, you've just got your good starts then. And then there's quite a few people in between those that start doing it. So Ryan has been doing some, through the developer blog, has also been doing some live streams. So just doing things like that. The problem with a lot of these things are maybe a live stream's like an hour watching. That might be quite a lot of time for you. So that's why maybe following like a quick little tutorial that maybe has a GitHub repo that you can do quickly. Again, it's how much time have you got? I find pointing people to the Museum of Block Art's quite good because they can just go there, they can see the code, they can drop it in, and then they can learn, oh, this is what a pattern is.
Right.
And some of those are quite fun, or go to the pattern directory, and then they can be like, oh, okay, well, this is what a pattern is, and this is how it forms. Yeah, so those kind of things as well. WordPress.tv is also really, really good because if you've got some time, type in whatever you want to follow and just start learning that way. You can learn some really diverse things that way. Following along some state of the words, the kind of pivotal points, you're going to find out the points of the project that way as well, is a good milestones as well.
I will make sure that there is a link to everything that Tammy just said. So if you go to wptavern.com/podcast and you search for Tammy's episode and you find it, there will be all of the links in there. Let's pivot a little bit. It's not apropos of themes at all, but what do you think about this current phase that we're in of Gutenberg, which is called phase 3?
Mm-hmm.
But the highlight item for me, I mean, there's absolutely loads, to be honest, but I'm just going to talk about collaborative editing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make about that? And especially related to themes and sites more generally, not just the content,
yeah,
but editing collaboratively, just the way the whole site looks, so the theme.
I think it hasn't been worked out yet how it's going to work on the theme. I don't know if it means you're creating the theme collaboratively. I mean,
it's hard to imagine, actually.
Well, it definitely means you're creating. So if you think of the site editor as the builder of the theme, which it kind of is, then technically if you're creating content, which is the theme, you are creating that collaboratively.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, collaborative editing at enterprise scale is something that happens quite often anyway.
So tools like Figma, you can do all of that collaborative editing.
Yeah, so I'm very, if I put my design hat on, very used to in Figma, like comments and or even like in Google Docs, people are very used to like leaving messages and whatever. So I just think being very aware of those kind of workflows is kind of interesting. One of the things we might find is someone will just set up a template and it'd be like, add something here and something here later. So adding comments to your templates might be curious and interesting. A different aspect might be people using different themes in the back end. That kind of comes to mind from accessibility reasons. That is also something that I've always thought about, is could people want to have different editor experiences depending on their accessibility, which you might do as well. So collaborative editor experiences or different editor experiences, which is slightly a sidetrack of this, but it's something to consider. But phase 3 is collaborative editing and the plus. Which
so
is also
plus.
The design system finally kind of flow. And that kind of, to me, is more Lego pieces to play with. And that's the bit that I'm incredibly excited about, because a lot of the stuff that's been hidden, we've had a design system all along. It's really good. People, when they talk about the work that's recently been done, they're pointing just to like the editor. Yes, but it's not going to just be the editor. It's going to be coming into the settings, into the admin, into everything, because it needs to. There's areas of WordPress that haven't been touched for a very long time. And by bringing these components and bringing this unification through, it's better user experience, but it's one user experience. Again, that point of it's a middle road. If it's the way that it's been done, means you then will be able to have the same level of customization, the same level of extensibility, the same level of styling on top of it. So you'll be able to then, for your end users, customize it how you want to. So you have that flexibility still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous that somebody who's been around in the project as long as you have, and I'm sure you've had your ups and downs. I'm sure that, you know, some days it's like, oh, WordPress. It sounds like you're very, very genuinely excited about what's coming.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I'm excited about who's doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. The new, I love when new and fresher people have fresher eyes on it. I love when older people have fresh eyes on it as well, and different energy. I love when, as I've mentioned previously, when someone redoes work that I've done, I'm so excited. I'm like, yes, that's gone. But it's exciting to see areas that haven't been touched for such a long time. We shouldn't have areas that haven't been touched for 10 years, because that's how many years? That's like dog years.
Tell us a little bit about your stuff. We've heard about your relationship with WordPress. Let's just get into what you're doing at the minute. I think you said you had four hats or something, is it?
Yeah.
Four hats?
I got lots of hats.
What are the four hats?
Yeah,
what
I got
are you
lots of hats.
Keeping Tammy
so
busy?
So I'm working on a project called Guildenburg. I'm working with Luke and Jonathan. What we're doing is we're working on a guild of product creators. And we're working to support them through that as well. That's really exciting. So I'm doing that a little bit. I'm also looking to create my own products. I'm working out what that means. Spoiler, it's going to start with theming. I'm also collaborating with doing some agency work as well. And I've been collaborating with some awesome plugins, doing some classic block-based work, which I actually really enjoy. There's something about converting classic themes to block. One, because I'm learning where the friction points are. I'm also really lucky to be sponsored by Automatic to be doing 2 days a week on the default theme task force.
Go on, tell us more about that.
Yeah,
sounds fun.
I am really excited about that. It's $400 tickets on the default theme.
Ooh.
So the idea is eventually, it came from the community summit. There's actually a post up by Jonathan DeRosis. Rather than scorch earthing and removing all the default themes, it's what if we actually fixed them, which is a beautiful and wonderful concept. So what we're doing is we're going through each ticket and we're going to analyze, does it need fixing? Some of those tickets have been sat there for 4 or 5 years. They haven't had attention. So we're going to look at it. We're going to see if it even stands in this time. And if it does, great. Let's ship it. Let's get that patch in. If it doesn't, let's get a new patch. If it needs closing, let's close it. And then we'll be able to see the lay of the land. Once we don't have this amount of tickets, then we can decide where we go from this on base thing.
Kind of a nice project that you can see that 400 dropping.
Goodness, yeah, we've already done some at Contribution Day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
I got to be part of some of the default themes. You know, one of my first roles within WordPress, you know, I kind of came in through theming. Theming has been a theme throughout my whole history of WordPress, throughout everything. And my heart is strongly there. And default themes, yes, some of them are classic and we could be like, oh, just forget. I don't believe that. I think it's history. It's like us denying that we have a history, right? And I love block themes. I think they're amazing and they're fantastic, but that doesn't mean that we should forget that we have these themes. I think we should look at how we can bring the essence of those if we want to bring them, or we should look at how can we support the people that are still using them and how can we have that respect. If someone's using 2011, how can we still respect that they're using 2011?
Yeah.
as well.
That's a lovely project. You very quickly glossed over. There was one there where you're going to be looking at doing your own projects, but you didn't dive into that. Maybe it's because you haven't distilled it quite yet.
I haven't yet fully.
What's the kind of intuition that you're going
to... So I really want to start creating my own themes again. That's one of the things. And I also want to start exploring maybe some plugins as well. I don't have an idea yet, but the idea that I can start... I'm going to use the word playing, but playing to an end. I have so many ideas and that's awesome, but I need to work out which idea I'm going to work on.
Okay, so maybe we should do this conversation again in 2025.
I have a theme site, composition themes, and I want to start making themes that have one purpose and both that are beautiful, but also that have one purpose for types as well. That's kind of where I want to be theming, but I also really like the idea of doing similar for plugins. Maybe it's blocks, but maybe it's also companion experience plugins. But going back to that idea of experience, I love the idea of maybe making the experience lesser for the editor, or maybe kind of exploring different things around that.
Yeah. Okay. 2025 is the date. We'll have you back and we'll see. What was it again?
Composition themes. I also have classic to block themes.
Nice. Okay. We'll put both of those in the show notes. Great. Well, Tammy Lister, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.